Wide receivers. EQ led the receivers with the most yards. He had 78 yards. Only had two catches, but he was targeted pretty heavily, six targets. And then St. Brown had six catches for 72 yards and a touchdown. Incredible catch on that touchdown grab. I mean, it was looked like it was skimming the turf before he caught it. And he had eight targets. And then Hunter had a decent game too, five catches for 57 yards and a touchdown. And Folston was involved pretty heavily in the passing game. He didn't carry it for a ton, but he did have four catches for 24 yards.
Well, and they had him out wide a couple times. So, Hunter, it looks like it was definitely good for him to get his wedding out of the way. I thought he played a lot better, was more involved this week. EQ's touchdown was low. I don't know if that – I think that's – Kaiser was trying to get it low. He didn't want him, EQ, to get killed like Hunter did against Texas, and there was another play where – the only downside on that, Sanders was wide open on that play. And the other times, like when Hunter got hit against Texas, another receiver was wide open. When they run that play, there's usually another receiver wide open that Kaiser does not see.
And again, I think part of this not throwing deep is Kaiser's development. I mean, he's not to that point yet where he really quickly goes through his progressions.
Yeah, because I saw it on a couple other plays where he went to one guy and there was another receiver. I almost think it was Sanders again the other time, was almost waving his arms.
So Sanders is the guy getting screwed through all this.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal is with Sanders, because he can be so dynamic, but you don't see him out there that much as a receiver. Fink is getting a lot, is out there quite a bit, and I just expected to see a lot more of Sanders.
Especially in the short passing game. He is out there a lot. But yeah, I would rather see them use him in screen passes than EQ.
I mean, EQ is doing a good job, but we've seen what Sanders can do as well. And especially in the short passing game, you would think Sanders would shine. So I don't know what the deal is. He's not hurt because he can run fine. We saw that.
On his returns.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what the deal is. If his routes aren't as crisp as they should be, if he's made some mistakes on that. But even being at the game, he's not out on the field as much as you would think.
But he's out there way more than Fink is.
Not necessarily.
Yes, he is.
No.
Yes, Randall. Trust me on this one.
I can't watch. They often have Miles Boykins out there, or they'll take one of the running backs out wide.
They do that.
They have Hunter and EQ.
Yeah.
Stepherson. I'd say Stepherson is in there more.
He's a starter.
Than Sanders.
Stepherson is starting at X, and Torrey is starting at the Z.
Okay. But, yeah, it's kind of surprising to me.
All right, quarterback play. There was a play. Notre Dame was what drive was it? I don't remember exactly what drive it was, but it was in the second half, maybe the drive before they got their final touchdown and then the field goal. It was fourth and one. Notre Dame lined up quickly, and this was definitely a run pass option for Kaiser. He had Sanders, it was Sanders and Torrey Hunter. On the field side, and there was one defender over the top, and I'm sure it was an option to either run it up the middle or pass it to him. And if Torrey Hunter would have done a good job of blocking, it would have been a first down, but the defender blew up C.J. Sanders.
Well, people were complaining about that. Why are you throwing that? But seeing it live, it was the easiest. It looked like it was going to be the easiest fourth down to convert. They saw right away what was happening. Kaiser was trying to get the ball snapped, and Miami was trying to figure out what they were doing and they were yelling at one of the guys to get out there. All Hunter had to do was stop that one guy, and it would have been a touchdown.
And it looked like he was going to. He had him for maybe half a second, and then he just blew by him and blew up Sanders.
It was the worst block. It was ridiculous. So I understand, why are you throwing it? But I think Kaiser saw, I don't know what the play call was, but if you saw it on the field, that was going to be a touchdown.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And there was one guy out there against two Notre Dame guys. But, you know, I think they did line up with an empty backfield on that play.
Are you sure?
Did they have a running
back? I think okay. That was later.
I was too busy watching the excitement on the, because everybody saw what was happening.
On the final drive when they kicked a field goal, when it was third and goal, they lined up with an empty backfield, and then Kizer was kind of walking around, and I think he was going to go under center to do a quarterback sneak is what I think he was going to do, but then McClinchy and one of the tight ends jumped off, had a false start.
Yeah.
But that was going to work because the offensive line had the numbers. Unless they were just blown up, blown back, then he was going to get in the end zone.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's it for the offensive line.
You mean the offense
period? Or the offense period. Defense, let's start with the cornerbacks. Troy Pride Jr. Had a rough day, picked up at least two pass interference calls, and he also got hit by the punt. Had a tough day, but still looked like he was confident. I mean, I think he actually didn't get called on the one on Miami's last drive. It looked like he was holding a Miami tight end or receiver about in the middle of the field.
Oh, yes.
Was that him?
I'm trying.
It was hard to tell, but I think it was him.
Whoever it was definitely holding him. But I think it was to make up for some of the other calls.
And then I thought that Dante Vaughn had a phenomenal game. He did have one pass interference call, but he had three pass breakups.
Here's the biggest difference I saw between those guys. Dante Vaughn will actually turn around and look for the ball. These other guys, Troy Pride, Julian Love,
I think does pretty well.
I don't know
not,
how
not,
many
not
times
as well as Dante Vaughn.
Well, this game, I don't know how many times the crowd was yelling "turn around," which obviously you know it's late for the player, but the guys don't turn around, and it they're young guys, they'll learn. But I think some of those could have. I don't know if they had turned into interceptions, but if they would just turn around and seen where the ball was at, they wouldn't have got the pass interference. They just need to turn and look. And you could tell by the crowd what was coming. So definitely something they need to work on.
Brian Kelly talked about, I think it was confidence with the players. And he said they either don't have confidence in their teammates, in their own ability, or in the coaching. And once they have all three of those kind of locked in, then you'll see a really confident player. And I think that's probably where it is. I think there's maybe a little bit of lack of confidence in themselves, being able to know where the receiver is at, making sure they're not too close or too far behind. And then when they have that confidence, then I think they'll be able to have the confidence to turn around and find the ball.
And Cole Luke mentioned after the game that it helps a lot when your defensive line is getting that pressure. He said it makes it so much easier for them and gives you more confidence. When you're running with your guy, because you know that defensive line is getting pressure on the quarterback.
Cole Luke, the interception was beautiful. He faked a blitz, and then he ran with the receiver, and by the time that Kaya saw that he wasn't blitzing, it was too late. And so close was a pick six.
Yeah,
that I would have been really happy for Luke. And by the way, he's also, we were kind of critical of him a few weeks ago as far as he wasn't tackling very well, but the defensive backs in general have been tackling very, very well.
Yes, it's definitely been improved, so I'm not sure what all changed, but they're doing a much better job. And there's a lot of hope for these young guys. It's good to see them playing as well as they are.
Agreed. Linebackers. One play by Niles Morgan, it was a four-man rush, and it was either a second down or then it was a third down. But the defensive line got pressure on Kaya and forced him to turn around, and he had his back to Niles Morgan as he was kind of rolling out of the pocket. And Niles, at that point, rushed him and was able to get there before he was able to throw the ball away or find someone open. So he got a sack on that, and it either forced... I do have my notes. It was on third down. So just great play by him. And overall, just outstanding play from the linebackers. Tavon Coney, saw a lot of good things from him. He's maybe not quite as fast as I thought he was, but very physical. And Asmer Bilal got a sack.
Asmer also had a tackle for loss. Niles Morgan had 9 tackles, 2 sacks, and 2 tackles for loss, and he also had a pass deflection. And he is just a very solid, consistent player.
Yeah. James Onuwala, the other starting linebacker, he had 4 tackles and 1 tackle for loss.
It was a little scary when Coney went down. It looked like, you know, you could tell it wasn't a leg injury, and then I was scared he hurt his shoulder again. But I think he's fine. I think he came back in after that. But, I mean, he's okay. But I was a little worried because, obviously, Greer Martini was going through a concussion protocol, and so we need these guys, and we need Greer next week against Navy. He did very well against them last year. But, yeah, the linebackers played a very good game.
All right, and then the defensive line, like you mentioned before, Jaron Jones, even when he wasn't sacking the quarterback or getting the tackle for loss, his disruption just allowed other players to get sacks and get tackles.
Yeah, I mean, even when the other guys were getting the sacks, he was the one that was pressuring them towards the other guys so that they were able to make those tackles. I mean, even if he plays half as hard as he did in that game, it'll be a good game. I mean, he'll have a good season, but very impressive.
It seemed like Notre Dame was very effective at getting to the passer through the first quarter and a half, and then for a quarter and a half, they're getting into the fourth quarter. It kind of seemed like Miami switched things up, and they were getting the ball out quicker, and they were moving the ball and scoring points. But on the last couple drives that Miami had, Notre Dame was just getting after the quarterback.
It was the one thing that was a little concerning is that stretch second and third quarter at the end of the second, which extended on to the first beginning of the fourth, was Notre Dame could not stop them on third down there.
They converted some long ones too. They were getting them in bad situations, but they were converting.
So were they playing a little too conservative? Do they need to put more pressure on them in those long downs? I mean, I guess the big thing is some people think the cornerback should play a little more press.
And they did adjust that on that final drive. They did bring some press. But overall, you don't want to get burned for one play scores.
It seems that's what they're doing because then at the end, the last drive, when they had to make a stop, they did it. So it was almost like it was that prevent defense.
Yeah.
They got the lead, and then they went into prevent mode. And, you know, at the end, which Mark Richt, the Miami coach, he said there at the end of the fourth quarter, he said Notre Dame just took over. There wasn't anything they could do. So that is a little bit troubling, just the fact, you know, why did they have to be in that situation, just take over the game? You know, why couldn't they just do that earlier?
Well, I thought maybe part of the reason for Miami being able to move the ball late in the second, kind of through the third quarter, was maybe just the fatigue, because there was a couple drives when they were out there right again.
That's true.
Especially, it would have been like 3 drives right in a row in the second quarter.
That we didn't see much of the offense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That definitely played into it.
And then one of the things that was just really positive for me, when Miami, they rushed on 3rd and 1, Notre Dame got a tackle for loss, and then Miami went up really quickly and tried to run a hurry-up play. And Notre Dame, the defensive line, they were ready. They were right there and stopped the conversion and turnover on downs.
Yeah. And we didn't mention the safeties, but Drew Tranquil has definitely stepped up his game and his tackling. He was tied for leading tackle with 9 tackles. And he's been playing much better. Studstill and the younger guys, you can tell they're a little bit hesitant, and so they get to the ball a little bit late. They're out there and they don't react very quickly, but I think that's going to get better with time, and they'll be able to make more plays as they pick up the defense.
Okay, I'm just looking over my notes here, make sure we don't miss anything.
Well, it was definitely an exciting game. It was just hard to believe that Notre Dame actually won one of these games. They can play in hurricanes, so.
All right, I think that's everything. That's everything I got anyway. All right, thank you guys for listening. Do check out Pro Football Focus. They've got great articles over there about the NFL and college football, as well as great tools for any fantasy players. There's a link over on our website for Pro Football Focus that you can click on to get on over there. All their articles and their all their articles are free. You can read them. If you want the fantasy help, you do need to pay, but it's a very reasonable price, and they do have a discount because it is midway through the season. So check them out, profootballfocus.com. Thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.